So today we have a new series called Hearing God. And what we want to kind of explore in this series is just that, what it looks like to hear from God. I think it's a little difficult at times to know if we're hearing from God. Even in my own life, like, I'm not an expert, Ashley's not an expert, and even as we go through this, we're hoping that we're going to grow by leaps and bounds in our understanding of how to hear from God and really hone in and respond to his voice. So today we're going to be reading out of Psalm 91. We're going to be reading the whole chapter, 1 through 16. And again, if you haven't been following along with us at all, or if you have missed some sermons, we do put our sermons up as a podcast. Also, we have links on our website to past sermons. That's villagechurchaz.com if you're interested. All right, Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I'll protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, and probably my favorite psalm. The promises in here are profound and really life-changing. But what I want to pull out of it today, there's a lot here, but starting at verse 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. And then it goes on to say, he will call on me and I will answer him. I want you to know that today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, as we begin this series, that God wants to speak to you. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God really wants, he desires, he's desperate to speak to you? That's his heart. He wants relationship with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to speak to you. And I want you to hear that there are things in our lives that prevent us from hearing God. There's things in our lives that we choose to hang on to that stop our ears, that put our hands over our ears, to block what God wants to say to us. Things like bitterness that we hold on to, unforgiveness, things like shame, unresolved sin. Those things stop our ears up, but don't mistake that. It's not God being silent. It's us not being able to hear him when he speaks. Do you see the difference? God doesn't fall silent in our lives. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Scripture shows that. It says, if we love him, right? If we call on him, he will answer us. So we're going to explore that a little bit today. So if God wants to speak to you, how can we make sure that we hear him? Well, the first way that we can make sure that we can hear him is to be in relationship with him. Right? Because he loves me. Notice that narrative, right? It's not because God loves us, he will protect us, right? We know that God loves us. I hope that each and every one of you have at least heard a dozen times, maybe more, I would hope, in this series that we've had leading up to this point, that God loves you, that he's desperate to be in relationship with you, that he's desperate to encounter you. But the secret of this narrative right here is that it's the Lord saying to us, because he loves me. And I know that it says, I will rescue him. But I believe you could substitute that word will with can. Because he loves me, I can rescue him. Because it's only when we love God, when we cling to his side, when we're underneath his wings, as this passage so eloquently describes, it's only when we're under his wings that we're really under his protection. And that's what this whole passage is about. I will save you from the fowler's stare, from the deadly pestilence that stalks, right? It's because we love him, because we're close to him, because we have relationship with him, that he can hear us when we call, and he will answer when we call. So because he loves me, that's what it looks like to be in relationship with God. And there's a difference between being in a relationship and being a fan of God. I think, well, we know that 2/3 of our nation would call themselves Christians. We've heard that statistic many times. But if this passage were true, and those people all really claimed to love God and really truly loved God, don't you think our country would look a lot different if the majority of our people in our country were clinging to God and were underneath the protection of his wings? But I'm going to say we're a gross minority, those of us who truly love God and who truly want to cling to his ways, his commands, and have a real relationship with him. That's why this verse doesn't really ring true for 2/3 of our country. And that's the difference between being a fan and being in a relationship, right? You can be a fan of someone or even a fan of a political figure or a party, right? I had a friend in high school, and he would kill me if he knew I was telling this story, but he was a huge fan of Michelle Branch. Anybody know who Michelle Branch was? Remember her? She was a singer in the 2000s and stuff. She had a lot of albums and stuff. He was obsessed with Michelle Branch. Bought every single album he could get his hands on, read all the liner notes, memorized the liner notes. He would look up interviews, and like he'd constantly be researching Michelle Branch, right? And he got to the point where he would come to me and he would say things like, did you know that Michelle Branch likes Led Zeppelin? I like Led Zeppelin. Do you know what that means? Like, Michelle Branch and I are meant to be together, man. Like, that's not a coincidence. Like, but to this day, Michelle Branch has no idea who my friend was, right? She's never gonna meet him. Maybe in his mind, he was hoping that at some point, maybe they'd like cross paths and he'd be wearing a Led Zeppelin shirt at a concert or something and she'd go, oh, my soulmate, but that is never gonna happen. It didn't happen. That wouldn't happen. That's the difference between being a fan of something and being in a relationship, because you know what? My friend's fandom faded. And he moved on to another female recording artist that maybe he thought he might have a better shot at, right? But that's what it's like with God. That's the difference. When we're a fan of God, our fandom can fade. We can say, I love what God stands for. I love what he says in the Bible, and I think that people should absolutely adhere to that. But what's the difference between that and a political figure, right? We just like God's ideals. But it's only when we love him and he can love us and can show us all that he has for us. It's only when we mesh those two things together and God becomes wholly intertwined in our life that we leave the fandom and the relationship begins. And the relationship is what will cause lasting obedience, lasting fervor for that person, right? So I want to ask the question this morning, like, do you just believe in God? Are you just a fan? Do you just know that he exists and maybe that's why you're going through motions at this point in your life? God wants more than that. And believing in God doesn't mean a whole lot, guys. James 2:19 says, even the demons believe, and they shudder, right? So believing in God isn't a difficult thing. I personally think it's a lot harder to dismiss God than it is to believe in him. You have to really try to fight away all the evidences in order to try to not believe in him. So today I just want you to really explore in yourself, are you in that relationship? Are you ready for what God has for you? Are you prepared in your own life, in your own walk? Are you clinging to his side? Are you under his protection? Maybe you've never gotten to that place yet. Maybe you haven't started the relationship yet, or maybe it's just been a while and your ways have started to part with God's and you're kind of out from underneath the umbrella of his protection. Today is a perfect day to get back underneath that umbrella, to cling and to love him. Because that's what it takes to be able to hear from God. That's the first and absolutely most important thing in our lives. If we want to hear from him, we have to be in relationship with him. Next, we have to call out to him if we want to make sure that we hear from him. And we see that as well in this passage after it says, because he loves me, right? It says, he will call on me and I will answer him. It's not I might answer him, or I can answer him, or I could answer him, right? It's I will. That's a definitive statement. I am going to answer you if you call on me. Does it feel like that's true all the time, though? Have you ever called on God and felt like he didn't answer? It's okay to be honest. I've been there a million times. We're transparent here. I believe this passage is 100% true, but my feelings get in the way sometimes. When I was growing up, I was counseling at a Bible camp in the summers, and I loved this place. It was very transformative for me. I met a lot of really amazing people through that camp, and I actually, the first summer I was out there, I met my wife, Jessica, who's in the kids ministry, and she is almost 3 years older than me, and I fell in love with her, like, the first time I saw her, but I was, like, 15, and that's not going to happen, you know? Like, like, even if she really liked me, there's no chance that she's going to date a 15-year-old, right? So, like, I held out hope for a while, and I made her my ideal in my life, like, well, if I could find somebody like Jessica, right? Because I kind of gave up on that prospect. But at camp one summer, I remember vividly just telling God, you know what, God, if you want me to find somebody, if you want me to get married, I'd really love it if I could find that person here. Because this camp was so special to me and my walk with him, and I never kind of had ever felt closer to him than there. So I prayed that prayer. And that week, it feels ridiculous saying this to you guys, but that week, these two girls were fighting over me. And, like, that's super ridiculous, right? Like, it's me. Like, I don't understand that. I was, like, the whole time I was, like, do you know who I am, right? Like, you understanding that it's me? Like, is there somebody that you're fighting over else that's named Cody, like, around here, right? Made zero sense to me. But these girls were fighting over me, and I was, like, okay, God, like, that is not what I was talking about. Like, I don't want to find my spouse through, like, having to, like, hurt somebody else and all that kind of stuff. But me being the idiot that I am, I picked one. And very shortly after that, I realized I had made a terrible choice. And that is not what God... I thought that that's what God wanted for me, though, because I was forcing an answer, right? I had made this... I had said, God, like, let me call on you. I would love it if you could grant this request to me. And then I was like, well... that's crazy. Like, same week, this must be the answer to prayer. I stayed in that bad relationship because I thought it was the answer he gave me for 2 years. And it was horrendously detrimental to my life. I mean, like, my self-esteem was shot. Like, this girl, bless her heart, but she was bipolar and had a lot of issues that like I was not prepared to deal with as 15 or 16 years old, you know. And it took 2 years to like get out of that relationship for me, and then I was in a really dark place for a while, right? But the thing is, God hadn't forgotten about me, but I had forgotten about that conversation. Until one summer, I had kind of given up on the camp thing. And my hometown, I'm from North Dakota, which you'll probably pick up in my accent occasionally if you haven't realized that yet. But I'm from North Dakota, and there was an oil boom happening at the time that maybe some of you have heard about. But it was right at the beginning of it. And there's in a town of 13,000 people, there was 500 jobs suddenly available. So like I was like, well, I'm going to get a really good paying job for the summer, and I'm going to buy a guitar, and I'm going to like, I had my own plans that I wanted to do, right? And my dad was a high up in Halliburton. And so like I was like, I'm a lock for a job. There's no way I'm not going to get a job. Like, and I knew a lot of other friends' dads who were in the oil field. And so I applied at 7 different places, and I called every single one of them every morning. Like first thing in the morning, I would get up and I would call them. I would say, hey, I'm just calling about my resume, seeing if, you know. And I could never get a hold of the right person, no matter what job I called for. But that whole time, that camp was calling me saying, hey, we're shorthanded and we could really use you this summer. And I told them no, kept looking for a job. They called again. I told them no, kept looking for a job. They called again and again. And then finally, I got the hint. I was like, okay, God, obviously you want me to go back to camp this summer, and I'm gonna make like, you know, very little money. That was not my plan, and that wasn't my dad's plan either for my life at that in that summer. But that's what I did. So I packed everything, and I went to the camp, and I walked in the door, and Jessica was sitting at a table, and she was gonna be there all summer as well. And she said, when I walked in, it's funny. When I walked in, she said, oh, like. Oh, Cody's not 15 anymore. And I was like, yeah. Like, so by the end of that summer, we were dating. 2 years later, we were married. And that's the answer, right? That's the answer I was looking for. God granted me, not only was it that I found somebody there, but it was the person that I had compared all other girls to, right? He gave me like my heart's desire. Right then and there, something I thought was impossible. But that was his answer for me. But I wanted to rush the answer. So, yes, we have to call on him. It's imperative that we're the ones that ask of God, that we say things, and we're good at that, right? Nobody here, I don't think anybody here is bad at requesting things of God. We're all pretty good at saying, God, can you bail me out of this situation? Or God, can you do this for me? Or this, or this, or this, or this, right? But we're not so great at waiting for the answer or listening for the answer. Because God speaks incredibly broadly in our lives as well. But I want you to hear today that God hears your prayers and he answers your prayers. He answers your prayers. But it's up to you to open yourself up to the possibility that his answer is not your expectation. Do you hear that? His answer is rarely going to meet your expectation. It might completely rout your expectation so that you don't even recognize that that's the answer. Or the answer might be better than you could possibly imagine. Because that's the kind of God we serve. So I want you guys to hear that. I want you guys to own that today and through this series. Not only does God want to speak to you, but he will answer when you call. The last point is that we have to know his voice. And this is kind of the crux of this whole series. How do we know his voice? I can't outline that for you today. I wish I could. But I want to outline the fact that it is absolutely imperative that we do know his voice. And what's funny is the psalmist You know, David, he doesn't give any particulars about how to recognize God's voice. He doesn't give, like, God speaks in this tone, in this timbre, and he says things in this cadence. At no place in Scripture does it say that, because God speaks in so many different ways and through so many different avenues. It's not just a voice that we're going to hear, so it does no real good to try to describe wholeheartedly just that aspect of him. He walked and talked in person with Adam and Eve, right? He spoke through a burning bush. He spoke through a donkey. Any of you ever heard a donkey speak? That's an avenue that God might take with you. Just be prepared for that. He delivered messages through people, through prophets, through angels, through signs and wonder. He even had a great hand appear out of nowhere and write on a wall to get a message to a king. That's crazy. And he stirs souls. And he gently pushes us in the direction that he wants us to go in. And he did that for his people all throughout Scripture. And he does that for us today. I think the difference for a lot of us today is that we've kind of maybe given up on thinking that he'll show up in those amazing ways for us. But I can tell you, just this experience I've had planting this church so far, the fact that we didn't know where we were going to meet, and we go and have a meeting with the principal, and it was her idea for us to meet here. What else is that but a miracle from God? Straight up, him telling us what he needs us to hear. He spoke through somebody else that probably didn't even have any idea that she was being spoken through. But that was a direct answer to prayer. A miracle. He still does that. He still does that. I want to focus on John 10:27. That says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Other translations say, "My sheep hear my voice." I think we could substitute that with, "My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me." We're able to hear his voice and distinguish it among other voices in our lives because we are in relationship with him. We listen, we hear his voice, and he knows us intimately. I want to show a video of this where, I don't know any of you if you've ever worked with sheep. My wife grew up on a farm, and she had sheep, and she can attest to this being a reality. But sheep are conditioned to know their shepherd's voice. And you can have as many people as you want try to call those sheep in the pasture, but if it's not their shepherd, they aren't going to budge, because they're very stubborn animals as well, which is why Jesus uses that analogy with us. But we're going to watch a video of this taking place right now.
One more time.
Oh my God.
This scared them.
All right. That's crazy, right? That's who we want to be at Village Church. That's what we want Village Church to be. We want each of those sheep to represent us. And when Jesus calls to us, we instantly recognize that. Our heads pop up like that, right? From whatever is distracting us, from whatever we're doing, we all pop up at the same time and we go running. That's who we want to be. We want to be so in tune with his voice. We want to be so ready to do whatever he asks of us that we're ready to go. We're ready to go and be the good news, right? And that's kind of the purpose of this series. Again, that's what we want to be by the end of this. I'm hoping that each of us, through this, will know wholeheartedly the difference between whatever the world wants to throw at us and what Jesus wants to say to us. And I want us to have the courage to respond to whatever it is that he's asking of us. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say things like, God told me to do this. And we have to be careful of that because I want to weed that out in us too. People have told me, God told me to do it. And they'll tell me, and it's like, that is completely contrary to anything I would have ever guessed God would tell you to do. I went to a Christian school from third grade to graduating. And I can't tell you how many of my friends were broken up with that line. God told me that we can't be together anymore. Really? Sure wish God would have told me that a while ago, but I guess he just wanted to tell you so he could break my heart, right? Maybe God speaks sometimes like that, but like, wouldn't God clue the other person that loves God in on that as well? I think we tend to use things like that and we abuse that language just because it's easy and it's kind of irrefutable. What are you supposed to say to that? God told me that I can't do that anymore. Okay, well, I guess I don't have anything to say to that then. But really, in reality, it's just that, you know, some of the girls in my school didn't want to tell their boyfriends that their face annoyed them. And they didn't want to be around him anymore. So it was easier to say, God told me that we can't be together anymore. Easier than saying, you annoy me. Because it's a cop-out. But like I said, I want to make sure that we use that phrase rightly. When we say, God told me, that is a witness to others of who God is. We just finished our encounter series, and through that we recognized that when Jesus encounters us, it's not just for us, it's for the sake of those around us. And so I want to challenge you as well that if God speaks to you, when he speaks to you, not if, but when he speaks to you, it's not just for you, because it's shaping your story so that others can hear and have their story shaped as well. That's the goal. I'm going to call the worship team up, and I just want to go into a little bit of a prayer time as we wrap up. I want each of us to bow our heads, worship team by, I mean Jonathan Miller, the worship guy. But let's bow our heads. God wants to speak to you today. Some of you have found yourself maybe drifted out of the umbrella that God has for you, out of that umbrella of his protection, out from underneath his wings. And he's calling you desperately to come back into relationship with him so that you can hear him, so that you can know his voice, and that you can respond to the amazing things that he has in your life. If that's you today, if maybe you've strayed and you're out from underneath his protection and you want to go back and you're ready to go back, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Maybe you've never been in a relationship with him. Maybe Maybe you've never started that process. Maybe you don't know what it's like in your own life to love God. Maybe you've forgotten. Maybe you've never been taught. I don't know. But if today you're ready to love God with everything you have, and to go under His protection for the first time in your life and to say, I'm all yours, take all of me. I want to be in a real, genuine relationship with you. If you're ready for that, would you raise your hand today? Thank you. Praise God. The last thing I want to ask is, are you ready to hear from God? Because He's ready to speak. I want you to raise your hand out as a sign of commitment that you are ready to hear from God. Raise your hand. Are you ready? Amen. So through this series, I can't wait to see what God does for us. I can't wait to see the miracles that happen. I can't wait to see how God changes who we are. I can't wait to hear the new stories. Let's pray. Father God, we can't thank you enough that you speak, that you're not a distant, cold God who we have to beg for time with, but you're a God that loves us. You're a God that would do anything for us, and you're a God that did everything for us. God, speak in our lives. Speak in our lives, Father. Open these deaf ears. Take the veil off. Break down the walls so that we can hear your voice. We can know you better. We're ready. We're ready for you. Speak, Father.